Radio FNZ. Apparently, Anthony Edwards' phone informs me went off for 42 points, 8 of 9 threes, and 7 assists last night. Don't think about it, national media. The kid is balling in Minnesota, but don't think about taking that award from LaMelo Ball. But LaMelo, you might want to have a good game tonight against Chicago. You might want to have a good game.
Could use a little LaMelo triple-double effort. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not talking about like some insane Russell Westbrook triple-double, but can he get like a 15, 10, and 10? Something to put himself back in the national spotlight here a little bit.
Yeah. By the way, PJ back tonight. He's now a father. That was the personal day. So good news. Congratulations to PJ. And he'll be back tonight, and we need him. Graham still doubtful, however. And obviously, Hayward, Bridges, Cody Martin, all out tonight. Five-game homestand. It's a huge homestand before two final road games against the Knicks and Washington for the Hornets.
Got some help last night with Indiana getting blown out by the Kings, and the coach of the Pacers trying to fight a player on the sidelines. So we'll discuss that at some point during the show. Nate Bjorken, the head coach, got into it with Patace. I believe that's how you say his name, the big man from the Pacers. They had to be separated for multiple minutes. This wasn't like a quick dust-up. So the Pacers are a mess. The Wizards last night was 135-134 to Milwaukee. That's good for the Hornets from the standings point of view. The bad news is, oh, my gosh, the Wizards are playing good basketball.
Yeah, the Pacers, I don't think, are our top worry for the eighth spot. Because Washington plays the Pacers again. They just whipped them on Sunday. They play them again in a couple days. I think Washington ultimately passes Indiana. We're 2.5 up on Washington, and we play them at the end of the season final game as we try to hold on to the eighth spot. That's all I want them to do, hold on to that eighth spot. I want to talk about the fact that Quail Hollow gets it cranked up today, Wells Fargo Championship, after a year off, and it is a reduced capacity. But for a lot of Charlotte sports fans, a lot of guys out there listening, hell, gals out there listening, this is like one of many of your favorite times on the sports calendar. And as a matter of fact, I got a neighbor named Brian. Well, he's my neighbor for like 2 more weeks, Boney. So we got to get our sports arguments in before I leave the neighborhood. So anyway, I'm talking to my man Brian from across the street. And because he knows, you know, we do this show here and stuff, like, it's a lot of, like, hot takes. And, like, he wants to kind of simulate the Mac attack, I get the feeling. He wants to get me mad. Okay, so anyway, we start talking about
Wells Fargo. Wait till you roll into a new neighborhood. You're going to be targeted by everybody.
Keep that low profile when I move into that new neighborhood, man. But anyway, so here's the deal. He's a big golf nut. He loves the Wells Fargo, and he said he's got, you know, passes all weekend and stuff. And so we're talking. He says, you got to admit, Mac, he knows I'm not the biggest golf guy in the world, but this field is awesome. I cannot wait to see what happens this weekend. And he says, no, you're not the biggest golf guy, but you have to admit, as a social outing, that the Wells Fargo Championship is the most fun you can have socially at a sporting event. And I said, first of all, give me tailgating, even though I don't really get to do it because I'm hosting pregames and stuff for the Panthers. But give me tailgating. Like back in my younger days, you know, when I wasn't working and stuff like that, give me football game tailgating. To me, that is the most enjoyable. You have the excitement of the game coming. You're throwing down beers often in the AM. And there's the anticipation of the game coming. I love that environment. So I would say Panthers tailgate. I understand what he's saying. And I think a lot of people would agree with him. I just, like, for me personally, golf's not at the top. But it is a hell of a time out there. And let's face it, Bone, I get the feeling well over half the people that go out there to Quail Hollow are there more for beers, bros, sundresses, all those sort of things, right, than the actual golf.
Yeah, well, yeah, surely that's on the list. To me, it's got to be the Panther game's number one. The doghouse before a game, that excitement before kickoff at the doghouse when everything's packed and there's opposing fans walking by getting yelled at, usually by Mac or somebody when we're out there. The doghouse, to me, is that. And also, I go to the Roaring Riot tailgates a lot, too, so I make my rounds before games. To me, there's no more exciting thing in sports socially, from a social standpoint, than that hype before a Panther game. It's not like we get a ton of them either. We get 8 a year. Now we'll see how many it is a year. But normally 8 a year, and I think you kind of cherish those. You know what I mean? So I know Wells Fargo's fun for
That's
some people.
That's once a year.
Yeah, it's once a year.
That's their argument.
But to me, it's the hype and the excitement and the Panther tailgates, whether it's your own tailgate, Roaring Riot tailgates, the doghouse. To me, the Panther tailgate's number one.
Here's my problem with the golf situation socially. If you are trying to socialize while watching the action, you have to whisper. Like, you have to talk quietly. I don't know if anybody's noticed from listening to the show, I'm not a quiet talker. Right? It's probably the reason why we're not out there this week at Quail, and our other guys are on the other two day parts.
It's why your neighbors are chanting, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye, Mackie.
They're going to have a party in this dang neighborhood. Cinco de Maco. Mac has left the damn neighborhood. But anyway, so the question to you guys, we're just talking social atmosphere. We're not, you know, just in terms of, man, I had fun. I went with friends, went with family, and I had fun. What is, in your opinion, as you listen to the show, the best in Charlotte? Because some people are saying tailgating in Death Valley and stuff like that, or in Columbia. I'm talking about in Charlotte. What is the best social time you can have at a sporting event in Charlotte? Let us know your 2 cents on that. Do you go Wells Fargo? Do you go Panthers? Or do you go with one of the umpteen options that we didn't name? Feel free to hit us up. Building Center text line 704-570-9610. So we agreed, Bone. That's boring, but we agreed.
No, well, there's other options, too. Look, minor league baseball. I put minor league baseball games here above Wells Fargo for socially because the drinking and the fun. We have the nights here, which is fun. Also, the Kannapolis Cannonballers. I drove by their stadium last night. They have a bunch of bars and restaurants opening up there. That's going to be a really fun atmosphere, too. I would put minor league baseball up there as one of the more socially fun outings, too.
Over the Hornets? Over a Hornets game?
Now, I wouldn't put it over the Hornets, but I would put it over Wells Fargo, probably, though. I think minor league baseball games are really
fun
for
social. So is Wells Fargo literally at the bottom of your list?
Well, I have fun out there, but in terms of what I like, in terms of being with friends and what my friends like, I'm sure it's probably not. The Hornets are second, though. The Hornets, the entertainment value that you get at a Hornets game. I've never gone to a Hornets game, Mac, and not got some value out of that experience. Not one time. Even when they're not good, it's a fun atmosphere.
The question also depends on what stage of life you are at. Like, when I say tailgating, I'm thinking back to a younger Mac, a more free Mac. You know what I mean? Nowadays I'm working at the pregames and stuff like that. The Hornets game, to me, is fun to take my son, my daughter, to the game. Buy them umpteen amounts of food, and just they seem to enjoy all the different entertainment things that come along with the basketball at a Hornets game. I personally also like, you know, things like that. I personally also love the social atmosphere of NASCAR. See, the thing is, I don't go out a lot anymore. I have become older and lamer. I have become more stuck to my couch. But when I was going to a lot of these sporting events, NASCAR tailgates, man, with friends, with my father-in-law, like, that's a great time. You got people watching. You got beer. I love racing. The all-day sporting events are, to me, the really fun ones socially. The ones that start early, putting up canopies, you're tailgating. But again, I've become a lame version of myself. The restrictor plate has been put on me, Boney. Not mentioning any specific people that have restrictor plated me. So I don't like all these things, man, that I love. I don't do as much anymore.
I think when I was younger, those long NASCAR days, and I was with you and your friends sometimes out there, those long NASCAR days when you're tailgating, and again, those days, I think when I was younger, were higher on the list. I just can't compete at that level anymore for those days. I've aged out here a little bit. It's still fun. I'm not saying for people it's not fun, but for me, I don't think I can have that anymore because I would probably die by the time the race started.
Remember that time you came out with us and we're tailgating, we're playing like, a cornhole, we have beer pong set up, and our friend, the mayor, passed out right next to the car?
Let me tell you about Mac and his college friends here. I walk up to the tailgate setup, they're having a great time. There's a guy shirtless, about 5'7", about 250 pounds, just laying in the grass, sleeping.
That's the mayor.
And no one's checking on my guy. I said, hey, is your friend okay? Oh, he's fine. Race, we going for the race. I say, you got to get your friend over there? He's fine. Guy drives all the way down from Maryland and sleeps in the grass.
That's a crazy crowd. That is like my college buddies are living life like old school. I don't know how the hell at this age they're still acting like that, but God bless them. All right, I'm trying to check out what people are saying, the listener feedback. The best social sports social experience in Charlotte. My buddy Brian is headed to Quail today. He says it's the Wells Fargo. A bunch of you are agreeing on that one. Now, some people are firing back. This texter says, anything that has any place that has a dress code is off of my list. It relates to that a little bit. Let's see. This texter says, can't beat the NASCAR experience. Hands down, the best socially. This dude says, Max sounds like Frank the Tank from old school. Yeah, I'm the dude that's worried about going to Bed Bath & Beyond with the wife the next day.
If you have enough time.
I can't stay out late. We got a big day tomorrow with Bed Bath & Beyond. Let's see here. This texter says, it's all about college football games in Charlotte. That Clemson, Georgia atmosphere will be more fun than any Panther games ever been.
It's a good one. That's going to be a fun one. I mean, that's not an every year, every week type event. But, yeah, certainly for that day this year, Clemson, Georgia, the doghouse this year was Clemson, Georgia. It's going to be that area of Charlotte. It's going to be wild.
I would argue, Bone, I would argue you might have more raucous fun two nights before.
That's true. When
App and ECU go head-to-head. I mean, we got bongs meet beers. We got weed meets Lord knows what from ECU. Like, those are two fan bases that can party in their own freaking way. That's going to be a hell of a show. That Thursday and Saturday, headed into Labor Day weekend with ECU and App, and then on Thursday and then Saturday, Clemson, Georgia. That's going to be awesome. We might need to re-rank our list, Bo, of social events in Charlotte in the sports world after that weekend.
Matt, it's time for you to get into win a pair of tickets to see Genesis, the last domino tour with Phil Collins. Go to the WFNZ.com contest page now. Enter the keyword drums, DRUMS, for your shot at two tickets to the show here on November 20th at Spectrum Center. That's keyword drums at WFNZ.com to win tickets for Phil Collins and the last domino tour. When we come back in shocking news, Mac is not happy with power rankings involving the Carolina Panthers. It's blast early, but Mac is in on that now. We talk about it next. Mac and Bone, Sports Radio FNZ.
Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone with you here on a Thursday morning. Everybody have fun if you are headed out there today at Quail Hollow, the Wells Fargo Championship. I can't wait to watch some of this later today here on my couch, albeit I'm not having the full Wells Fargo experience. I can't wait to see
what
you
should put on a sundress while you watch it.
That's disturbing, Bo. That is disturbing on a lot of levels that you requested.
Why do I say that? Why do I even want you in a sundress? Why is that on my mind? Why did I write that note down? Ask Mac to wear a sundress. What is wrong with me? Ignore me.
Oh,
delete this chat.
Who am I working with here? All right. By the way, we'll talk about the tournament specifically. Maybe not as much beers and sundress conversation as last segment. Talk about the tournament specifically, how great this field is, and who's expected to do well with Ron Green Jr. That is coming up here. Formerly of the Observer, now Global Golf. What is it? What is this website? I just brain farted it.
Excuse me. Global Golf Post, right?
There it is, Global Golf Post. All right, there you go. I almost said Global Golf Express, but that's a store here in Charlotte. All right, let's talk about the Panthers, Bone. Let me try to work my way to this Panther conversation. Okay, so last year I didn't even really look at the power rankings when it came to the Panthers because who cares, right? Like, we were not good. Who really cares where they had us ranked? But I got a confession. I'm already triggered in 2021 about the Panthers' plays in some of these power rankings that are out there. Like, I don't understand how multiple people in the national media think the Panthers got worse this offseason. Like, two of them, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, Dan Hanzus from NFL Network, have us 28th. That means we're the fifth-worst team in the league. Last year, we drafted eighth. They think we're going to be three spots worse than last year. Bleacher Report ain't much better. They have us as the 26th best team in the league. That would be drafting 7th. So I ask you this question. What are they? Because I would think most people in Charlotte that are Panther fans believe at the very least we've improved our team from last year. Like, what is the disconnect here, Bone? Like, what are they overlooking about our team? Why the hell would they look at this offseason and think the Panthers are going to be a worse football team?
Why are they trending down and not up? Like, yeah. were they 28th last year at any point? No, they weren't. And if you want to say, well, even if a guy like Prisco or Hanzus from NFL Network, NFL.com, even if you didn't believe in Sam Darnold, if that's your reason that you don't trust the quarterback, well, it's not like he's replacing a legend here. It's not like Sam Darnold's replacing a Teddy Bridgewater that had a Kurt Warner type year last year and he went off somewhere else. It's not exactly a – if you think it's a drop-off, well, that's fine, whatever. It's not a massive drop-off enough for the Panthers all of a sudden go backwards in the rebuild. And Prisco's got them below – he's 28. 26 is Jacksonville. I know they're going to get better over time. There's no doubt about it with their draft pick in Urban Meyer. But right now, he's got them ahead of the Panthers. He's got the Eagles 27. Why are the Jaguars and the Eagles for this upcoming season ahead of the Panthers? Answer me that. I don't get that one.
I have no answer other than the fact Prisco lives in Jacksonville and is a Jaguars homer. That's the only answer.
I know that they've got the franchise quarterback. I know they're going to get better. But for right now, we haven't seen them play a game yet.
Here's my question. What does the national media not realize about us? Like, what are they overlooking? First of all, I think to get into the quarterback situation, I'm not even extremely fond of the Darnold pickup, but I can tell you he's going to play better than Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think the outside media realizes how bad Teddy Bridgewater was situationally last year, how he killed us in 2-minute drills at the end of close games, how he was terrible in the red zone. I also think they probably don't realize he had 2 touchdown passes in his last 5 games last year. Like, he played terrible at the end of the year, and situationally, when it was money time, he was a mouse. He was afraid to take shots. He didn't have any guts. So, like, listen, I'm not the biggest Sam Darnold fan in the world, but if people are thinking Teddy Bridgewater is better than Sam Darnold, the way he played last year, I think that's crazy talk. I think people are also underestimating the close game factor. We were in 8 of those babies, didn't win a single one of them. Like, that's not happening again. And I also think Matt Rhule is still being considered, well, he's a college coach. And I guess I understand that. You know, I think a lot of people here think, Bone, I'm just being we're being homers with our belief and faith that Matt Rhule can replicate what he did in college here in the pros. But I do just believe in the guy. And if it ends up being blind faith, I'm going to have to say, my bad, I was an idiot. You know, I drank the Kool-Aid. But, like, I just believe in his ability to take over a program that, you know, and rebuild it. And it gets better every year. And I just believe he's going to do that here in Carolina. I don't see how they're going to be worse than last year. I don't get that.
This is Mac and Bone on Sports Radio FNZ talking about some post-draft power rankings. Mac and I not happy with Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. Mackey's also got the Falcons 6 spots higher than the Panthers. Look, I know the Falcons' offense with Kyle Pitts. I know how lethal at times that offense might be. But are the Falcons 6 spots better than the Panthers based off the Falcons' defense, though? The Falcons are going to score some points. There's no doubt about it. But do you really think the Falcons are 6 spots better than the Panthers? Shouldn't the Panthers be more in that Falcons range at least? At least, like in the 20, 21, 22 range near the Falcons?
You're right. 6 spots behind Atlanta, I would argue we should be ahead of them. 10 spots behind the Saints, I would argue we should be right there knocking on the Saints' door. I think we could be in a legitimate battle with them for second if things break our way. I'm not guaranteeing it. I don't know. I'm not on here to making guarantees, Bone, about how many games we're going to win.
Thank God.
But if you think we're going to draft 5th next year in the draft, I think you are on something. Like, and that's where you would be if you're 28th in the league. That is freaking crazy talk to me. And the question is, what do you think? If you strongly disagree with being ranked this far down the power rankings, you think the national media is overlooking us, what are they overlooking? I noticed a lot of people are saying they're sleeping on Darnold and how good he can be away from the Jets. Some people are saying that these teams, like the Eagles, are in easier divisions than we are. And I won't argue that about the NFC East, but I do think, do people realize that the NFC South, I don't think, is a gauntlet this year? Like, I do think the Saints are taking a couple of steps back after losing Drew Brees.
Well, apparently Prisco thinks that. He's got the Saints 18 and the Falcons 22. Now, the Falcons obviously belong in that 22 range, but he's got the Saints all the way down to 18. So it's not necessarily the gauntlet outside of Tampa Bay that it has been in the past.
How about this one, too? I saw Bill Vogt tweet this out. And I do realize, folks, that this may mean nothing when the season starts. But it's all we have to go off of right now. By the way, we're 6 days away from the schedule release next Wednesday. But the Panthers are they have the 26th hardest strength of schedule this year. So, again, that doesn't always hold up exactly. Sometimes it flips. But going into the season, maybe that's a slight reason to be optimistic. I also think the national pundits don't realize the strides the defense made under Phil Snow last year. Like some of the football that they were playing down the stretch. I mean, that last 2.5 quarters against Aaron Rodgers, when Aaron Rodgers flat out admitted, man, that defense was crazy. I didn't see anything like what they were doing. Like, they were confusing people. Individuals were starting to emerge and play better. Derrick Brown started to become more of a pass rush threat. Burns, when he was healthy, was going off. Chin was playing great. Dante was reborn. And then you add Reddick and Daquan Jones and Perryman and Boye and Horn. I think people are sleeping on how good this Panther defense can be when they put those power rankings together.
They were so good against Aaron Rodgers, they sent Aaron to the game show industry. And now it's made him question his own football team. That's how good the defense. How good the defense was on that Saturday night.
It's all because of Phil Snow. It has nothing to do with that Jordan Love draft pick in the first round last year. Phil Snow just messed that relationship up. Let's see here. People are saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm trying to see how Panther fans feel about these power rankings. Us being 28th in two, us being 26th in another." People are saying this. Multiple people saying the Saints' quarterback situation is better than ours. I got one fan that says Taysom Hill's better than Darnold, and another fan that says Jameis is better than Darnold. We don't know which one of them's starting.
If Taysom Hill's better than Darnold, why isn't Taysom Hill just a starting quarterback then?
Yeah, Sean Payton.
Why is he? If Taysom Hill is as good as he's been talked up to be by his own head coach, why is Taysom Hill not the starting quarterback? Why is he not named the starter and they're building around Taysom Hill? Because all we've heard about is how good he is at this and that, how he can be a quarterback. Now, I think he can be okay, but if he's this good, why is he not named the starting quarterback?
No, it's a great question. If he's the next Steve Young, why the hell's Jameis Winston fighting with him in camp for a
exactly.
game? I think it's a legitimate question. I notice a lot of the apprehension to jump on our anti-these power rankings movement is the Darnold apprehension, and I get it. But I think if Sam Darnold literally, like Teddy Bridgewater to me, was probably one of the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the NFL last year. I would argue if Sam Darnold is just the 20th best quarterback in football, that we are improved from last year. Like the defense is going to be better. CMC's going to be healthy, knock on wood. Like, how about our weaponry? And then we add Dan Arnold and Marshall as well? Like, I see absolutely no way. You know what, Bo? If we don't improve our record from last year, I'll wear that sundress you want me to wear.
Oh, no, I didn't need you to wear it. Oh,
how about that? I'll wear it for a show. Because there is no way we're not better than last year. Mark it down. Sundress Panther bet, baby. Book it, phony.
I'm not booking anything. I don't want any part of this. you know what? I'll wear one with you. Whatever. All right.
Yeah, Bo! That's Panther belief right there, baby.
I just got to get my legs tanner for a sundress. I'm not really in sundress season yet. Millions have been vaccinated. They are safe, effective, and free. Get the facts you need at mecnc.gov. That's mecnc.gov. When we come back, we get a live report from Quail Hollow with Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post. Mac and Bone, Sports Radio FNZ.
Sports Radio.
Sports Radio FNZ rocking and rolling here on a Thursday. Big weekend in Charlotte from a sports standpoint. The Hornets start a 5-game homestand that is crucial if they're going to try to hang in that eight spot and only have to win one of possibly two play-in games. Got the Bulls tonight, 7 o'clock over there at the Hive. And then secondly, after a year hiatus, the Wells Fargo Championship is back. We saw old Roy and his big old long putter out there yesterday. We saw Ron Rivera come back to town, CMC, Mac Brown. It was a great, great group for the pro-am yesterday. But today,
Roy uses two big putters. It's like his basketball strategy. He has two big putters with him.
And there's no doubt he favors bigs, even on the golf course when it comes to putting. But now it's time to get serious. Round one getting underway this morning, and the field is amazing. It's the last prep for the PGA Championship in 2 weeks for a lot of these golfers, and it's a good group. Let's talk about this field, how the course is going to play, who to watch this week, with a man that when you're talking golf in Charlotte, he's got to be one of the top authorities. Ron Green Jr. covered it for The Observer for years. He writes for the Global Golf Post. If you're a golf nut, make sure you read it, globalgolfpost.com. And Ron Green Jr. joins us here on the Mac Attack. Ron, it is always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad they're ready to go this week, and I guess they're already going now. I haven't quite gotten out there yet, but I'm talking to you guys, and heading over should be fun. I mean,
yeah, Ron, we're not out there yet either because Mac is too loud for the course, so we're at our homes. But let us know how it is out there.
That is true. That is sad, but true. But you're right, Ron. I got to stop talking future tense. This thing is underway as we speak. Talk to us first about the field for this tournament. This feels like... It feels like a, you know, I'm not going to say a major field, but it feels like as far as non-majors go, this is a damn good field this week. This time frame, 2 weeks for the PGA, is great timing for them, right?
Yeah, it really is a terrific field. I mean, the kind of field we got accustomed to for so many years at the Wells Fargo Championship. And in the same way the tour schedule sort of builds from March in Florida up through the Masters and Players sort of play their way into it, I think we're starting sort of a second wave of that now with Wells Fargo. 2 weeks from now is the Players, the PGA Championship down at Kiowa. 2 weeks after that, the Memorial. 2 weeks after that, the U.S. Open. So it's a big, big stretch of golf now again. And so in the three-week period after Augusta, a lot of guys take some time off. Some of us particularly like going to Hilton Head the week after, so we consider that a mini-major too. But I think this is just the perfect restarting point. It's a big, hard golf course. I think the rain earlier this week softened it up some, make it play a little longer, but be interesting to see how firm they can get the greens because they do have the sub-air system there, which can pull the moisture out. I think it's a really, really good test. It looks just spectacular out there. You occasionally hear people say it's the best it's ever been. Well, yeah. I've been out there for years, even worked out there back in the 70s. It's hard to imagine it looking better than it looks right now.
Sweet.
We're talking to Ron Green Jr., Global Golf Post, here on the Mac Attack on the Technicom guest line. Ron, with the way he's played since March 1st and the way he plays this course, is Justin Thomas your favorite entering this tournament?
I would probably say so if he can make some putts. He hit it really well last week at the Valspar Championship and just drove himself crazy about burning edges. Didn't make much of anything. I mean, he'll rank first, second, third in almost every ball striking category, and I think he was 67th among the 70 or so who made the cut in strokes gained putting. So it just tells you if he can make some putts, he's right there. And he spent a lot of time sort of grinding over that here early in the week at Quail Hollow. I mean, we know what he did the 2017 PGA Championship here, and he's a guy who, when he's on, he can beat anybody. And I just think he's that close, and I feel like he might be ready to go on another little tear.
We're talking with Ron Green Jr., Global Golf Post, about the Wells Fargo Championship starting today and just an amazing field. I think I had read seven of the top 10 golfers in the mix this weekend. Ron, you mentioned the course. Let's talk about that a little bit. That's one of the stars every time we have this event at Quail Hollow. How do you expect it to play this week? What have you noticed this week in terms of how the course might play and what type of tournament, what type of scores we're looking for this week? What's your guess on that?
Well, I think part of the fun of having PGA Tour events, particularly in person, is you want to see how good these guys are. I mean, I know some people love to watch the U.S. Open and see the carnage and the bogeys and all that. Well, we get to see plenty of that when we go out and play ourselves. I like to see them make birdies and the occasional eagle. And, if they can shoot 12 under par, I think that's a good target score for tournaments, because you get to see enough birdies, but you know that the bogeys are out there too. So I think they'll set it up very fairly. I think it's a golf course that gives you a lot of risk-reward possibilities. I mean, we know what the last four or five holes, just standard. You step up on that 14th tee with that drivable par four and see what, you can make two if you're good enough, or you can pull it left and make a mess of it. 15th, a chance you can get on the green and two, make eagle there. And then the last three holes, I mean, you could write a book on the last three holes at Quail Hollow. As David Thom showed way back in 2003 in the first one of these tournaments, it truly isn't over till you get through that 18th hole there. So I think we're going to see some low scores, but I think we'll see some guys who we think are going to play well who walk off shaking their head, shooting 74, 75, wondering how that happened.
We do have some breaking news while we're talking to you, Ron. Ron Green Jr., Global Golf Post here on the Mac Attack. Webb Simpson, Charlotte native, had to withdraw from the tournament this morning due to a sore neck. So Webb Simpson will not be competing at Quail Hollow this year. It's breaking news there. Ron, who's an under-the-radar guy that you think could have a good weekend here?
Joaquin Niemann. He's a guy who you may sort of vaguely know the name, but I think he's leading the tour now. Most cuts made. Quietly just becoming a really, really good player who sort of puts himself there every week. What is he? I think 22 years old, can just really play. And his identity is just rising quickly on the PGA Tour. He's going to be a guy a year from now in September when the PGA, when the President's Cup comes, he's going to be part of that. He's a really, really good player you may not know a whole lot about. I'm not saying he's going to be like Rory when Rory won here the first time, and I remember going in the Observer office the next day and people saying, who's that guy who won the Wells Fargo, well, I guess the Quail Hollow Championship. I said, he's a guy who's going to win tons more. And we are a decade later. And I mean, that was not exactly Nostradamus saying that. I'll go with Joaquin Niemann as my sort of dark horse this week.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep an eye on him. We're going to track him for you. What do you think about, and I can't help it, Bryson DeChambeau to me brings sizzle to any tournament he's in, and I'm very interested to see how will he play Quail Hollow, how will the course and him get along. What do you think? He tees off today, 12:43 off one. What's your feeling on DeChambeau and Quail Hollow and how that might go?
Well, I think he's a great curiosity and sort of the must-see guy every time you go to a tournament. I mean, I was at Bay Hill earlier this year when people were flocking out there to see him try to drive it over that lake on that big par 5-6 hole, and he did it, and raised his hands and triumph, sort of created his own logo in the process there. I'm anxious to see him. I want to see where he hits it on 15. I want to see where how far down the hill he can drive it on one. He has a unique approach to the game, and it hasn't worked particularly well at the Masters, where I think he kind of overthinks it. And we haven't seen him play for 3 weeks. So I'm really anxious to see where he is with his game, how he feels about it. Because it seems like every time he goes away for a few weeks and comes back, something's changed.
Yeah.
Whether he's taken a few pounds off, whether he's put a few pounds on, whether he's got a new driver. What was he working with at Augusta? Like a 4.5 degree, 5.5 degree driver. I mean, that's sort of like just hitting it with a brick. And he can hit it so far. He will be easy to find at Quail Hollow if you're out there, because he's going to be where most of the people are.
He's a polarizing figure. Opinions vary on him. Mac likes watching him a lot. Do you think he's good for the sport, that characters like that are good for golf?
Absolutely. I think golf needs characters. Tiger was a unique character. Phil has been a character just because of his style and obviously his huge success. I think Rory's a character. I think there aren't that many guys who truly move the needle. I think Rory does it. I think Jordan Spieth does it. Unfortunately, he doesn't play here typically because he commits to the Texas tournaments.
Yeah.
But I think Bryson does it. We talk about him. He is probably the most talked about player. We've talked a lot about Rory in the last 6 or 8 months because he hasn't played very well. But Bryson DeChambeau, he's the conversation starter, and everybody has an opinion. I think he's very interesting. Is it the kind of golf I love to watch? Maybe not, but I can't quit watching it.
And I can't either, and I'm kind of more of a casual golf fan. I think I'm the type of guy that golf wants to get watching more than just majors and the players and stuff like that, and he does that for me, and that's a huge get for Quail this week. All right, last question. No pressure here or anything, but you've given us Neiman to watch as kind of a dark horse. Who is your pick to win at Quail this weekend?
Well, my sentimental pick would be Harold Varner, who says, yes, other guys try to peak for majors. I'm trying to peak for Quail Hollow. And, he's a member out there now. He's going to be a dad, I think, in October. I mean, he needs that person. I think that would be just an enormous story, and at the right place and all that. So that's the sentimental one. But I think you touched on it earlier. I'm riding the Justin Thomas train right now.
All right, so you're going JT. I can never fault you for that choice. By the way, check out all the great golf coverage, globalgolfpost.com. And on there, I mean, they're covering Quail. They're covering everything, including this whole, Premier Golf League startup thing. They're trying to pull guys with good stuff on there as well. And Ron Green Jr., make sure you follow him if you're interested in Quail this weekend, at Ron Green Jr., JR, at Ron Green JR. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
We'll keep the voice down and come on out to the golf tournament.
That's a miracle. You're asking for miracles.
That's true. I'll try. Let me try. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate it. That is Ron Green Jr., formerly The Observer, now doing an awesome job covering just the sport of golf for Global Golf Post. That Webb Simpson news stinks, man. Local dude, like you said, he's a member out there at Quail. That is his course, as he just mentioned, Varner. Webb's been a member out there for years, so I know this is a tournament he doesn't want to miss. I like what he said about Harold Varner, though. Would that not be an amazing story if he won his first freaking tournament? The Gastonian native, for people who don't know, if he won that at Quail, that would be great. Really would be.
Do they have golf courses, Mac, over there in Gastonia?
Dude, I'm telling you, our texters could go crazy with what a golf course setup would be like in Gastonia. Like, could you imagine the layout of some of the things you'd have to play around in Gastonia?
It involves the clown's mouth and a free game if you get a hole in one.
I know they have those golf courses, but the big ones, I'm not sure. Bone, you don't think of Gastonia. He's the only one. He's the only great golfer that I can think of from there. You got a bunch of basketball players that were great from G-Town. You don't think of it as G-Town is not golf town. You don't think of it that way. All right, Mac and Bone hanging out with you. We'll keep an eye on that leaderboard as they get going out there at Quail throughout the morning for you as well. We got to keep this baby going, though. Coming up next here on the Mac Attack on Sports Radio FNZ, Aaron Rodgers wants out. Scott Fitterer said he's in on every deal. Should we be calling the Green Bay Packers? And what would you give up for a 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers? Sports Radio FNZ.